Hi, this is Rini Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, telling you to stay tuned to WNJC 1360 AM for Thursday in the Doghouse, coming right up.
Mama was a mutt, Daddy was one too. Me, I'm a little bit of everything, everything that I use. One day I'm walking down my block.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of Thursday in the Doghouse, right here on WNJC 1360 AM. I'm your host, Rini Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, and Karen Fazio is here. She's also the owner of My Best Friend Dog Training and the Dog Super Nanny. We're here every Thursday morning from 10 to 10:30 discussing our favorite companion pet, the dog. We invite all of you to call into the station today at 856-227-1360 if you want to discuss your own dog or if you have any question about dogs in general. Let me repeat the number, 856-227-1360 if you want to call into the station and tell us about your own dog or if you have questions about dogs in general. Our goal is to help you understand what makes our dogs tick. What makes them do the things they do?
We also want to invite you to email us by going to either Rini's website at www.jerseydogtrainer.com, or you can email me by going to my website, www.mybestfrienddogschool.com. Let us know what subjects you'd like to talk about. Also, let us know what you're experiencing, any issues you're having with your dog, and we'll try our best to give you some suggestions to help you out. But before we get started, please let me tell you some services I offer in Keyport, New Jersey, and many areas in New Jersey. We are professional dog trainers. We deal primarily with fear and aggression. We do also do basic obedience. We do in-home extended stay pet sitting and dog training. So if you want your dog trainer to stay for longer periods of time, we could do that as well. And that's pretty much it. You could reach us at 732-533-9376 or by going to our website at www.mybestfrienddogschool.com. Welcome back to Thursdays in the Doghouse. Don't forget to give Rini and me a call this morning at 856-227-1360 if you want to tell us about your dogs. Rini will have a few emails this week from our listeners as well. Elaine from Mount Laurel, New Jersey, sent us one about her Pomeranian. Do you want to address her dog's problem, Rini?
I sure do. She's got a very interesting situation, but not one that's all that unusual. Elaine told me that she has a 2-year-old neutered male Pomeranian who's lifting his leg and peeing all on her sofa, her bed, and lots of other places in her house.
Wow.
Yeah. Elaine explained, though, that she rescued this dog about a year ago, but he only started marking her furniture recently after she went and adopted another male Pomeranian, and she says they do play well with each other and they get along pretty well. So, okay, Elaine, so here's some suggestions, and I hope you are listening and you're taking notes. First of all, you have to go back to House Training 101, just like this dog was a puppy. You have to be there with him right on the spot to reward him after he goes potty with a really delicious food treat, not just a commercial dog treat. You got to cook up some boiled chicken or give him some baked liver or just dig out some really good stuff to give to him every time he pees or poops outside. What this will do, it will help motivate this little dog to eliminate only outside. The other thing you have to do is crate him. When you leave the house, that dog cannot get any kind of unsupervised freedom, which means you need to watch him very carefully when you are home to prevent the marking. You can also keep him on his leash, and you can tether him right to you. So if you have a belt loop around your waistband, just tie his leash around that belt loop, and let him walk around with you. Let him follow you around and be with you. Because
it's too good, Renee, because I was just going to say, what about tethering the dog to your waist?
Yeah. Great minds think alike, sweetheart.
You're right on top of things.
Right. The prevention is critically important, Elaine, and I know that Karen will agree, because practice makes perfect. And so this little dog has a habit that he's developed, and we have to really get him to stop doing it. And so the only way you can do that is by prevention. And Elaine, don't forget, you have to clean up any of the areas that he's been peeing on with a very good enzymatic cleaner like Nature's Miracle.
You know what else is a good one too, Renee?
What's
that? Zero Odor.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about
that. Zero Odor Pet, and that's available in Bed Bath & Beyond.
Oh, that's great.
But there's two lines. There's the Zero Odor for the home, and then there's the Zero Odor Pet. And I've had some complaints. People said, oh, I bought Zero Odor, and it didn't work, because they didn't buy the pet one. And that works it works on a molecular level.
Oh, I see.
But what it does is it actually surrounds the molecules so that there's zero odor.
That's great.
They also have cleaning products, too,
mm-hmm.
To get rid of marking stains and scents that we don't smell but that the dog does.
Right. That's great. So remember, go to Bed Bath & Beyond and ask them for zero odor. That's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
So, Elaine, what I have to tell you about your little dog is that he lacks self-confidence. And what he's trying to do is to prove to the new dog that he owns these spaces. Dogs that mark their territory are competing for resources, and resources can be getting your attention, being given food or being given a toy, and absolutely being given furniture privileges. Dogs can vie over those spaces on the furniture, too. You need to work very hard on eliminating all competition between these two dogs. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to start implementing a work-to-earn program where they have to do something for you in order to get anything they want in their life or anything they need in their lives to survive. Both dogs should be on this. It's commonly referred to as nothing in life is free, but I prefer to call it a say please program.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what you want to do. You want to tell your dogs, you want to teach your dogs to have a really solid sit. Go around your house and each dog, you train that dog to sit the first time you tell him, give him a treat every time he sits when you're training it. And then once those dogs are sitting well, you're going to ask each dog to sit before they're fed, to sit before you even pet them, to sit before they're invited up on the sofa, or to sit before they get leashed for walks, and before they get to go out the door, and before they get to come back in the door. Remember, if it's something the dog wants or something the dog needs, you need to teach your dogs they have to sit in order to do that. You can even set a rule where whoever sits first gets those resources first. If you're feeding your dogs and you have your dogs try to sit in unison, whoever sits first gets their dinner first. If they sit together, you can place the bowls down on the floor together so that they can eat with you. You there have to be supervising. You'll notice your dogs will start viewing you a little differently after implementing this reward-based rule structure. I've seen enormous differences in dogs within a week. What about you, Karen? Do you also advise your clients to have a work-to-earn program?
Absolutely, because you know what? The reason why we have dogs is because we have them working for us. And I mean, this relationship was established thousands and thousands of years ago where, you know, we found that a dog had a particular skill. And we invited that dog to live with us, and we capitalized on that skill.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, all dogs like a job, and they all like to work. And it's our job to provide them with that. Otherwise, they're bored.
That's
they have
right.
nothing to do.
That's right.
You know, other than focus on, oh, I got to pee on this couch because it's mine.
Right.
You know, so, you know, if we give them something to do, and, you know, we may not be able to, you know, even if we have like a border collie or something, you know, we may not have a herd of sheep for them to mm-hmm. to herd, mm-hmm. but we could give them something else to do. Like you said, sit before, you know, we open the refrigerator or sit before we feed them a meal, go out, get the newspaper for us. I mean, whatever it is. But it's most easy, it's easiest for people to do sit, to stay, to lay down, and these kinds of things before meals or before we open a door to let them go outside. And by doing that, we're providing them with that job. And it's very necessary that we do that in order to give them a place in life, a meaning to their lives.
Not only that,
not being an ornament.
Right. Not only that, it teaches the dog that we are totally in charge of their life and that they don't have to worry about making major decisions for themselves. It's they look at us differently. They start looking, and I've seen this all the time, they start looking to us for guidance.
Right, and that's what we call leadership.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Leadership is not, you know, being the lord over your dog and, you know, forcing it to do things. And, you know, it is a mutually beneficial relationship, but there is somebody that's in charge. You know, just like you have a boss or, you know, it's a level of respect
mm-hmm.
that we expect from our dogs.
Yeah.
Just like we do from our children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they need to know that we provide the food, we provide the house, we provide the walks, and what they do is they rely on us for those things.
That's right.
Look up to us, and they need us for leadership. And believe it or not, I mean, that leadership could extend way beyond your house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's reflective on walks, and when a dog is fearful, they'll look at you for guidance, just like you said last week when you were explaining your story about Jack. How when that little boy was petting him and he's not really that comfortable with people petting him and he looked up at you and said, okay, I'm done. You know, as a leader, you knew, hey, look, my dog had enough and it's time to leave. And
mm-hmm.
that's being a leader.
That's right. That's right. So, and Elaine, lastly, I'm going to talk to you about another piece of equipment that might be very helpful for you. It's called a belly band. This is kind of like a doggy diaper for males. It wraps around the belly and Velcros to the back of the dog, and actually there you put a sanitary pad in the center of the belt to absorb any urine that the dog might eliminate with. The belly band will prevent further damage to your furniture, and your dog will learn that even if he does lift his leg in these areas, nothing is going to create that scent again to claim it as his own.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to emphasize the fact that going back to House Training 101 is just really, really important. You'll be rewarding him out there. He'll know that he's doing a job for you that you like, and that will help boost his self-confidence. And that's really what all this is about.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like your dogs are doing okay together. Thank God they're not fighting and they're not squabbling with one another. So we don't even have that issue to deal with. So if you follow my instructions, I'm sure you're going to see an improvement. Good luck,
Neil. I also want to emphasize that, you know, going back to House Training 101, anybody can do, even with an older dog. I mean, even a dog that's like 6 or 7 years old. I mean, of course, we want to, you know, rule out a medical issue first,
mm-hmm.
see if this, you know, something that's a medical, an underlying medical issue. But if it's not medical, then, you know, you just go back to house training. It's just like going back to school and sharpening up on a skill.
Right, exactly.
But I want to take a short break right now so Renee can tell you about some of the service she offers in the South Jersey area. And when we come back, we're going to answer another email that we received this week. Also, don't forget, you can call us today to talk about your dog. Our number is 856-227-1360, and hopefully we'll hear from you.
Is your dog always in the doghouse? Does he greet people by jumping all over them? Does she chew your shoes and steal your undies? Guess what? Your dog needs training. Hi, I'm Renee Premeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, and I train dogs using only positive-based methods. My services include private training right in your own home. I also offer group puppy kindergarten classes starting at 8 weeks of age and group classes for adolescent and adult dogs beginning at 5 months of age. All group classes are held at Dog Days Camp for Canines, 23 West Main Street, Marlton, New Jersey. For more information, please contact me at 609-280-9338 or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Again, that's 609-280-9338 or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Karen, an email came in from a Sharon from Middletown, New Jersey. She has a German Shepherd who's lunging and barking at other dogs when she takes them for walks. She describes her dog as being a very sweet dog, and he loves all people. When he was a puppy, though, Sharon took him to a dog park, and he learned to play very rough with the other dogs. She wants to know how she can get her dog to calm down when he's around other dogs and behave better with them. What suggestions can you give her?
Well, I want to kind of go back to puppyhood and the subject of socialization. When we socialize a puppy, we want to teach them the skills that they need to cope as adults. So, you know, a lot of people bring puppies to the dog park thinking, you know, this is a great place to socialize. You can meet a lot of dogs, a lot of people, kids. And, you know, that's true. However, there are many folks, and, you know, I'm not, you know, accusing anybody of anything here, but there are many folks who have ill-behaved dogs, and they just don't know what to do with them, so they bring them to the dog park, and it's usually on a Saturday, it's usually on a Sunday, it's usually around 1 o'clock p.m., and these dogs have so much energy, they're so ill-behaved, and, you know, they rough and tumble with all kinds of dogs. Now, you have, like, say, like a 12 or 14-week-old puppy, and he's playing with, you know, 8-month-olds or, you know, 5 to 8-month-olds, It's the equivalent of taking, like, a 5-year-old child and letting him play full-tackle football with a 16-year-old kid. And what happens as a result, I mean, the puppy seems like he's having the time of his life. I mean, he's running around, he's playing, blah, blah, blah. You get him in the car, he's panting like a lunatic on the way home. But what happens is that these puppies are actually fearful when they're playing like this, and it's kind of a survival skill. They kind of adapt to the situation, and they get by as best as they can, and so they kind of meld in with the rest of the group, and they rough and tumble play. But what's happening is that the puppy is developing a play deficit, and they're also, they're learning how not to play appropriately with other dogs, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Also, you know, they're learning that every time they see a dog, they just, you know, go out and, you know, full tackle football. Just the same as, you know, little boys or little girls that go see, you know, Ninja Turtles or these karate movies, and every child that they come in contact with, they're given a hi-ya, and they're giving them a roundhouse kick to the face.
Right.
And this becomes very problematic when the dog becomes about 8-9 months old and older, mm-hmm. and it'll last the rest of their lives. So my suggestion for these kinds of behaviors is, one, you want to have the proper tools. So you could fit the dog with a halter, which is a head halter, and it gives you marvelous control over the dog. It gives you marvelous control over lunging. And another product that I love more than all of them is the Easy Walk No Pull Front Clip Harness, which actually kind of restrains the dog's shoulders so that they have a more difficult time lunging and pulling, and it also clips in the front, so it gives the owners marvelous control. But I find one of the biggest mistakes people make is when they're out on walks, and they kind of want to prove it to themselves that their dog is a good dog, and it is a good dog. It just has this issue. But they meet a dog on a walk, and they walk up to the dog, and they stand still, and the dog has nowhere to go, and before you know it, you know, these dogs are fighting with each other, or they're all over each other.
Mm-hmm.
My suggestion is to take the dogs for a walk together, walk calmly, usually take the reactive dog and let him be in the rear, and let the more calm dog walk in the front. That way, the reactive dog gets a chance to sniff the other dog, gain information and history and all that they capture from sniffing the hindquarters of the other dog. And they, by getting some information, they become a little bit calmer. Also, what's happening by letting the reactive dog stay in the back is that they're avoiding eye contact. Now, this may not work all the time. Sometimes dogs are a little bit more reactive in the back than they are in the front. Maybe they have, you know, problems where they feel like they want to be the leader. I mean, in that case, if the dog is more comfortable being up front, then I'll let them be up front. But mm-hmm. usually those reactive dogs do better in the back. because usually at these dog parks, they're being mounted by other dogs, and they're very reactive to dogs being behind them.
Karen, can I just make a comment here, and I have a question for you, too. First of all, if this were my client, I think what I would do first of all is to convince this person that the dog park is not a good place for this particular dog.
Right.
I would have also wished that I had met this puppy when it was a puppy and tried to convince the pet parents to bring this puppy into a puppy kindergarten class.
Exactly. I always tell people, do not bring your puppy to a dog park.
It's the worst thing in the world. I mean, even...
Yep.
Even for an adult, I mean, you don't know those dogs there. You don't know if they're going to be friendly. And like you said, people have these ill-behaved dogs. You don't even know if they're going to be aggressive. And a puppy cannot experience anything traumatic early in life. It will affect him forever if he does have that experience. And when I do my puppy classes, we do have off-leash play. And whenever a puppy gets overly excited or he starts doing anything inappropriate with another puppy, like making a puppy yelp because he's bitten too hard, or he starts mounting and trying to pin another puppy down, we give that puppy a timeout. We immediately remove that puppy gently from the play area for like a count of 5 or 10 just to calm the puppy down, and then we release him and tell him, okay, go play.
Right.
So if they don't have that constant supervision, again, they're surviving on their own. They're depending on their own little doggy instincts to survive, and you're not there giving him that kind of guidance.
You know what's unfortunate though, because a lot of these owners get advice from their veterinarians, and I'm not saying don't listen to your veterinarian. I mean, by all means, do. But, you know, they don't take their dog out of the house, and they don't socialize it because it doesn't have all its vaccinations.
Right.
Now, you know, pretty much, I mean, you know, I'm not a veterinarian. I'm not giving out medical advice, but pretty much, you know, most of these viruses and things that puppies can contract by, you know, being unvaccinated are curable. With medications. I mean, most of them are. I mean, it's expensive and it's a hassle and it's not good for the puppy. But if you're going to a puppy socialization class, you know, they're with pre-screened puppies. They have to fill out forms and they have to be forthcoming with the vaccinations that they do have. So, I mean, the dog should have parvovirus vaccine, which is what they get when they're very young. They could get a Bordetella vaccine, which will prevent them from contracting kennel cough from other dogs. I mean, the rabies thing, that's what comes around, like, when the dog is about 12 weeks old.
16
weeks.
No,
you don't have to wait that
weeks.
Long. I mean,
yeah.
If you go to a good puppy a socialization class, like one that Rini provides, you know, the floors are cleaned. You know, we don't have to worry about it. Your dog's going to socialize properly and learn how to play appropriately, and that's big.
Right,
because,
right.
You know, there's nothing worse than taking your dog out for a walk and you look like a real heel because your dog is lunging and barking and baring its teeth at other people. I mean, after a while, you become like, uh-oh, here comes that lady with the dog walking down the street.
Right, right.
But, I mean, and if you can't get to a puppy socialization class, because let's be honest, Rainey, there's not that many out there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, thank goodness that you offer that. But I can tell you in my area, there's not that many kindergarten classes.
That's a shame. That's really a shame. It
so,
is an absolute necessity.
You know, what I suggest is that, you know, I follow Dr. Ian Dunbar is a proponent for this. And that's, you know, having little puppy parties in your house.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, usually when you have a new puppy, you run into a lot of other people that have puppies. I mean, whether you know, go to a big box, supply store and you run into people, or you might have a neighbor around the corner that has a puppy, or even an older dog that's very gentle with puppies. I mean, we want to not only expose puppies to dogs of their own age, but we would like to expose them to older dogs, big dogs, small dogs,
mm-hmm.
you know, all these kinds of things. But the dogs that they do get exposed to should be gentle. And you can do this right in your own home, right in your own backyard. If you're going to do it in the house, take your shoes off before you come in. Take the dog that's coming to the house should have his paws wiped down so that he doesn't traipse in viruses and so on and so forth. And, you know, make sure that dog that's coming into the house is vaccinated. And the risk of of contracting infections and viruses are very low at that point.
Let me just jump in here just for a minute, because people might be shaking their heads and thinking, I don't want my dog exposed to any kind of virus. Well,
right.
I can't blame them, but here's the thing. The American Veterinary Society of Animal Behaviorists, what they make a statement about the importance of early socialization. Now, as far as the veterinary advice is concerned, there is merit to this. People have to understand there is a risk, but it is slight. Now, people will say, but this virus can be lethal. Yes, it can. However, the statistics are clear here that more dogs die from behavioral issues.
Yeah.
More dogs die because they were not socialized by the time they were 12 weeks old with lots of people and other puppies and dogs, because they become fearful and aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
So we have thousands of dogs euthanized every day throughout the country in shelters because of this lack of socialization. If you were to go on and find statistics for puppies that die every day from parvo, it is a minuscule amount of dogs. So the owner has to make a decision. What I usually do is I send out that statement to my puppy people so that they can share that statement with their veterinarians. Doesn't always help, but most times I can convince the owners of the importance that this puppy has to be socialized with other dogs and people. Otherwise, they're going to have a lifetime project. And you're,
right,
you're
and also, socialization is a very short period of time. Now, you know, trainers and behaviors, I mean, we have kind of an estimate. I mean, most of us would agree that it's about 12 weeks of age where that ends. After 12 weeks of age, socialization window is pretty much closed.
Right.
Now, I mean, it could be 14 weeks, it could be 16 weeks, it could be 11 weeks, but we all pretty much agree that it's about 12 weeks.
Right.
So if you buy a puppy from a breeder at 10 weeks of age or 8 weeks of age, or you get it from a pet store at 10 weeks of age, you only have 2 weeks.
Right.
To
you have
do
to
this.
Do marathon socialization.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, when we talk about socialization for dogs that are, you know, adolescents, we're talking about just keeping those skills up to par.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like anything else. It's like, I mean, it's a crazy comparison, but it's like having a car. You know, you got to give it a tune-up. And you have to, it's just like children, when you raise children, you know, we have to always, you know, kind of be there. If they don't say please and thank you, say, what do you say? You know, and be there as a guide.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to do this throughout our dog's lives. I mean,
mm-hmm.
we can't just, you know, stop at 12 weeks and say, all right, but the dog socialized, and now he can just run about. Because if you take a puppy after like 13 weeks of age and bring him to the dog park, he's going to develop adolescent problems.
That's right. That's right.
So, I mean, you really want to be careful with this kind of stuff.
Absolutely.
I mean, I would say if you have to go to a dog park, if you have no other options at your disposal, go as soon as that park ranger unlocks that gate. I mean, when the sun is coming up and there's like two people there, that's when you want to ask them, does your dog play gently with other dogs? And keep your dog on a leash for a little while and see how they interact. If they are gentle, then you can let your dog free play. Once other people start showing up, leash your dog and get out of there.
Yeah.
Because, and you want to do that at odd times of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Usually very early in the morning is the time to go, because
mm-hmm.
those frustrated owners aren't there yet.
That's true. That's true. But also the dog park, I mean, I don't know how clean it is. So
yeah.
If the puppy has not had all of its shots and you're taking it to the dog park, you really are running a risk
right.
that your dog could be exposed to any kind, not just viruses, but parasites and all that kind of bad stuff.
And it's the same thing with walks. You know, if you're going to take your dog for walks outside, and you should, even if the puppy's unvaccinated, you should take him for walks. But take him in front of your house.
Or walk him in the street.
Take him in your backyard. I mean, there's places you could take him, but
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't take him to a dog run to
no,
walk or a place
not.
Where a lot of strange dogs visit, because then you can contract those
That's
viruses.
Right. That's right. Karen, we have about a minute left. Can you tell everybody what's on our schedule for next week's show?
Next week we're going to have Nicole Wilde is going to join us, and Nicole Wilde is a expert trainer from California. She's also a wolf expert. And she specializes in fear and aggression and separation anxiety. And she's going to come in and we're going to discuss her appearance in Pittsburgh, upcoming in August, and her book about separation anxiety and other issues. She's
wonderful.
Just a wonderful person. She's great, and she will have the answers for your questions even before you ask them.
That's great. Karen, give out your website, and I'll give out mine so that people can continue to email us with their issues. And
sure.
Whenever we have a chance, we're going to answer those emails. What is it?
Oh, my website is www.mybestfrienddogschool.com.
And my website is www.jerseydogtrainer.com. And we are, there's Duke telling us, Karen, that we're out of time. And so I'll look forward to talking to you, Karen, next week. And I'll look forward to talking to Nicole next week. And I hope everybody has a great week.
Have a good week, too.
Bye.
Take care.